Well, we're excited to have missionary Phil Zarns with us today. Phil, come and share with us.
Hi, everybody. Nice to meet you today. If you want to play that video, Mike, that'd be great. Thanks. We'll watch TV for a second. You guys okay with watching TV? All right. Go ahead, sir. And we're done with TV. All right. Cool. My family, if you want to throw that first slide up, I'll just introduce you to my family in two dimensions. My daughter, my middle child, she's 15, and she's much taller than in this picture, but I don't know about your family. It takes a small miracle to happen for our family to take a family photo, much less to match, all right? So my daughter right there, she's dancing in the Nutcracker today, so I get to go and see her at her 1 o'clock performance. So I'm gonna zip out of here after second service. Really excited to see her. She's been working really hard and she's very tired by this point. So right now we just kind of avoid each other. Like, by all means, go in your direction. Yes, I love her, but I also know that this is a very like tough time for her to have to dance twice a day for hours at a time. So there's my wife, Katya, in two-dimensional form. So our whole family's kind of waiting for me to get back to do that. But my wife, Katya, she is Finnish. Any Finns here? No. Any Swedes here? One Swede. The rest of you German? I'm Norwegian. Yeah. How about that? It's really interesting. Katya, when she came to North Central University a long time ago. Around in a galaxy far, far away, like 1997. And she was looking for a Pentecostal education. And she couldn't find it in Sweden. If you wanted to get educated as a pastor, then you went to the Lutheran seminary. And I grew up Lutheran here, but a non-believing Lutheran. So I can relate to this, that in Sweden, if you go to the Lutheran seminary, you'll be laughed at if you believe in God. It's seen as a job. And that's it. There is no God. God's a myth. 15% of their church, the Church of Sweden, the Lutheran Church of Sweden, 15% believe that Jesus was an actual person. The rest believe that he was a myth. So it's a challenge for us to regard Sweden as mission when we have been usually conditioned to understand digging a well as an opportunity that then people might know Jesus. Or finding a remote village where people are speaking a vastly different language. Sweden is affluent. They have had the gospel, but that generation that had the gospel is gone. There is a new generation where they don't even believe that they have a spiritual dimension to their lives. It's simply yoga and rituals to have peace. Now, what's tough is, do we believe that they are as deserving of the gospel? That's a good challenge, isn't it? We're going to go to Scripture today and see what the Bible tells us, all right? Katya from Sweden, she came here. I met her at North Central University. We weren't looking, but when I saw her, we were looking, all right? Just to be got honest with you. And as I have, my own story is somebody suckered me into going to Lake Geneva when I was 17, so never give up on teens, okay? Never give up on teenagers. Suckered me to go to to Lake Geneva Bible camp, and it was the last night, and I was making fun of the people who were dancing on stage like, they're going to sing again, aren't they? I didn't believe in God, so how do you expect a person who doesn't believe in God to act like they believe in God, right? I was just sick of it, and then all of a sudden these lyrics came up on the screen that Jesus loves me. It was so simple, and I said, yes. You do. I love you too. And that was that. Changed my life. So I met Katya at North Central. She was following a missions call. She always thought mission was south of the American border, and that's what mission looked like. And so we got married in the middle of school, which I recommend. It's great. Sorry, parents, but it's great. And we went into separate rooms and prayed. God, where is it that you want to send us? And we came back and I said, God's telling me that we are to go to Sweden. And Katya came back and she said, God's telling us that we're supposed to go to Sweden. I had an easier time going to Sweden than she did. Here's why. As a Finnish kid in a Swedish school system, she would be made fun of. If there was a fight on the yard, it was between the Finn and the Swedes. And it was usually Kati who would win, pounding on the face of a Swede. Because they had so many racial slurs about Finns. So when God called her to go back to a people that she had regarded as racist, that was an exercise of love for her. What a challenge, right? Think about those people possibly growing up who you didn't get along with. And God says, forgive them, go to them. I'm proud of my wife. Her name, Katya, means purity. It's a nice meaning, right? And then there's Ben. Ben is now actually this much taller than me. Ben is 17 years old, and he has the middle name that my wife suggested of Skywalker. It's possible. It's possible, but for you who are saying, but that's not biblical, his name is Benjamin, son of my right hand. It's all good. Don't worry. It's okay. We go back. My daughter, Matilda. Matilda means mighty warrior, and she is the kid who she sees a fight going on. She'll step in and try to pry people apart and then get involved and say, stop it. That's her. All right. Very proud of who she is as well. And then my son, Max Maximus, he's named after the gladiator from the Gladiator movie, Gladiator. Maximus means the greatest. So we have purity, son of my right hand, mighty warrior, and the greatest, right? And then you have me, Phil. Phil means lover of horses. Thanks, Mom. Right? She could have named me anything. Theo. Theo would have been pretty cool. It was really close. I don't even like horses. Think about this, though. In Scripture, we have a track record of people who have been called by one name, and then they chose to not find their identity in that name and the connotation that was attached to it. Because no matter who you are, your reputation is might have been connected to your last name. Being born into a community, people are already making assumptions about who you are and what you're known for and what you can produce and what you'll do with your life. But Scripture tells us that people who found their identity in Christ were set on a different trajectory altogether. Not living by the constraints of man, but by what God sees potential for. That's how we are to live, right? I'm not bound to this lover of horses. But I am known as a child of God. Next slide, please, Mike. Here's some of the things that have happened in Sweden I'm so proud of. Upper left-hand corner, we've started a church, two different churches. This one was different than a traditional church. We started it out of our apartment building because we noticed that people didn't care about that we had a church that was over off somewhere in the middle of the city. Yes, it was in the middle of the city, but it was primarily for Christians. So we had to figure out, how do we reach out to our neighbors? Our neighbors don't care about our worship team. By the way, your worship team, don't get prideful, was outstanding today. I'm so happy that we got to worship with this worship team today. Confidence in gifting, right? Not pride. And that will serve you well. They didn't care about that. They didn't care about our sermon series. They cared about if we cared about them first. And those statistics my kids shared on that video were correct. 2% are attending church living for God. If you want to, we'll talk a little bit later about the refugee crisis of 2015 and how many new Swedes came into Sweden. On the upper right-hand corner, my wife is there sitting on the youth board for Sweden to make sure that university ministry is going forward. It is a challenge, and it's also a great opportunity that we've been adopted into the denomination that's there. It's a small denomination, but it's a denomination that's open to work because they see that we need to work together, right? With other churches who believe in that as we trust in Jesus Christ, He releases us, He frees us, and sends us also as a church. So it's exciting to work alongside of them. Lower right-hand corner, that's one of the university ministries that has started because we were sent to Sweden. I'm so proud of them. They're not only reaching out to university students in Karlstad. We have a Karlstad, Minnesota. They have a Karlstad, Sweden, which we're named after, right? But they're reaching out to refugees and teaching them how to speak Swedish as well. Lower left-hand corner, I play guitar, and one of the things that we've been attempting to do is to reach out to that unreached people group known as Swedes, who are hardened in their hearts. They're wonderful, warm people, but they don't believe that there is a God at all. Okay? Very spiritual, but no God, no deity floating, nothing. Nothing that reaches into you, nothing that elicits an emotion. That's all human made. So what we've done is, along with my friends there, we've rented out bars. And you need to catch this. Most of our ministry in Sweden, it's not geared for people who are already Christian. I don't think that's what I'm to do in mission. It is to go to the people who don't know Jesus, maybe just regard him as a swear word. So that's how we're gearing things. So we'll go, we'll rent out a bar, have six singer-songwriters, I'll back them up playing guitar, and everybody will play their songs, and they're not Christian songs, okay? And then we'll play ours, and I'll back them up, and then we'll spend hours getting to know people who have never darkened the door of a church. The Holy Spirit there is equally efficient as it is here at the top of our choruses, everybody. We need to view that. That the Lord is here and the Lord is there as we go. Good challenges, really, honestly. We're trying to get very creative with reaching out to people because they're not showing up to our churches. That's the problem in Sweden. Okay? Next slide, please. I wrote a book. I have two copies left. It's about mimesis. It's about following in the footsteps of somebody else. It's very simple. It's how discipleship worked then. It's how businesses work now. Coke and Pepsi, their logos have been very similar throughout the years, and they continually copied each other, and they both became strong, even though some of you like Coke over Pepsi. Well, it tends to be the same thing, that as we work with a mentor, we learn from them, and they inevitably get stronger as well. It's something that you should adopt into your life. If you want that book or you want to give that away to somebody for Christmas, they're $10, and I have two copies left. I know you're all like, wow, I can't wait to get that. My publisher's happy because I'm done talking about it. So that's good. Next slide. Let's get on to it. Next slide. Thank you. Romans 8:16-17. I know that you probably have seen this message if you've been in the church for a while. Paul wrote this letter to the Roman church. Paul, the man who was a murderer, who then followed this message of repentance and turned a U-turn towards God and trusted him. Instead of murdering Christians, he now became a believer in following this Jesus and his message of the kingdom of God. And this is what Paul, who's writing to the Roman church, wanted to get across to them. See, the Romans had just come out of a pagan faith, okay? Multiple gods, polytheistic, and they were comparing themselves as new believers to the Jewish believers. Get this, they heard about Jesus, and that unlocked the whole Jewish scriptures. The Old Testament made sense when you plugged in Jesus, right? It made sense to them. So they had a lot of knowledge that was now alive. And the Romans were left with, Jesus loves me, this I know. But that's enough, right? So there was this worth, this comparison that they were going through that was very difficult for them. Paul wants it to be very clear that the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, brothers and sisters alongside of Jesus, inheriting something of great worth, the most costly thing, the most expensive, most precious thing ever. If we indeed share in his sufferings, don't forget that part. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your plans. It's going to cost you your life, your time, your resources. But it's worth it, right? In order that we may also share in his glory. Let's go on to the next slide. Just a little bit further, in the letter to the Romans, Paul says, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. As I read that, I do read everyone. Do you read that as well? Do you? I read everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I'm going to try and figure out a way so that mission happens to everybody. To the people of Lonsdale. To the people of Apple Valley. Predictable Apple Valley where I'm living right now. Where people definitely could know the Lord. It would be outstanding to see a transformation in that town where people are loving each other instead of flipping them off in traffic. We're so passive aggressive. Lord help Minnesotans. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, I had a boss, and he said, Phil, we're going to go on a faith journey. We're going up to the northern parts of Sweden. Find a city in prayer, and we're going to go there. We're not going to plan it. We're just going to go. So on our way up there, number one, I'm not used to this kind of thing. My boss saw that we had been working in a church and we had been doing university ministry. And he said, you need a break from this kind of cycle of how you're doing things. Habit, right? We fall into habits and behaviors. So we go up there and on our way, I'm texting our whole denomination there saying, where are we supposed to go? We're on a faith journey. Now, this sounds crazy, even to Pentecostal Swedes, all right? Because they plan out 6 months to a year in advance of everything. So that somebody would say, we're going on a faith journey right now. That doesn't make sense. But they said, there is a church that you need to go to encourage. Because the basis of ministry, everybody, is this. Go somewhere, pray with somebody. It actually is that simple. So everybody said, overwhelmingly, the emails and the messages came back to my phone that were, go to Kiruna. Can you say Kiruna with me? Kiruna. Well, it's above the Arctic Circle, and Sweden is about as long as our west coast. It is very tall, and it's way up north. So October 1st, we have about this much snow in Kiruna. That's when we were traveling there. So we get there, and that happened to be the city that we were landing in, but we didn't really know much about it. I'm not going to bore you with the details about that town of 20,000. It's very concentrated. But we got the email and the SMS, the text message address to the pastor of that church. This church was 120 people at one time. It dwindled down to 12 people, and then it had a church split. Can you imagine? So we said to ourselves, that's the right place to go. Tim, I didn't know about this, but he had a dream for years about seeing the cowboys of the world come to know Jesus. Okay? Great, Tim. That's cool. How does that apply to Kiruna? Well, I didn't know and he didn't know either. So we were on our way north. We get there. We wake up the next day. We pray, God, lead our feet. We're going to meet the church at 6 o'clock tonight. Help us to trust you in how you're going to lead us. Amen. Sometimes setting a schedule is not good, right? Sometimes it's okay to say, Lord, lead me today. How do you want to use me? So we walked around the city. I met a lady, was speaking Swedish with her, just like this wonderful little dog right here. I said, hey, vad heter hunden? What's the name of the dog? Vad heter du och vad heter hunden? What's your name and what's the name of the dog? The lady was less than thrilled. She looked at me and said, Han heter Elvis Hedor. His name is Elvis. Goodbye. I wasn't local, apparently. So we continued walking, and Tim found out on the way up there that there's 8 political parties in Sweden. I knew that, and they've actually added another since. And this party is for the reindeer herders. This one party. It's called the Sami party. And they're a people who herd reindeer for a living. And their political office is on the third floor of a building in Kiruna. Tim found that out on our way to northern Sweden. And I was just like, so? I didn't even think about it. This was a dream that he had seen that needed to be fulfilled. I had no clue about that. So we're walking around. We're going up these steps. I get up to the office. I open the door and I say, Tim, I don't even know what we're doing here, but I mean, I'm a person of faith. but also you need to recognize you're sending people in mission who are imperfect, right? Who are going to have to be dynamic and who have to learn on the fly, just like you do. There's no such thing as super Christian. Did you know that? If you know super Christian, take them out back and beat them up. They don't exist. It's us. I opened the door and I had to express my doubt to my boss. Tim, I don't know what we're doing here, but here we are. Out that door walks a lady, and if you're Americans that far north in Sweden and you're speaking English, you stick out. She looks at me and goes, Phil? This is Marie, the pastor of the church. She works in the political office for reindeer herders because her and her husband are reindeer herders. Cowboys of the North. My mouth dropped open and I looked at Tim and the first thing I said was, God's real. She starts crying because she can't believe that people would spend money to come all the way up there to encourage a failing church. That spoke the world to her. That church is running almost 100 people right now. Because of faith, learning, and above all, God's leading. In every situation, the Holy Spirit can guide you and send you. People are thriving up there in the northern parts of Sweden. Muslims are coming to Christ in Kiruna because of that revived church. I learned a lot that day. Next slide, please. Marie felt totally unusable, everybody. If you already feel unusable, everything, every situation is going to look impossible to you. If you continue on with that way of thinking, people are going to appear unreachable because you've already, from the very beginning, counted yourself out. That's rough, isn't it? Let's go on to the next slide, please. In the book of Acts, we'll go rapid fire here. In the book of Acts, there's four different areas where the Holy Spirit is working always at the utmost of efficiency. It's not like he's really working now and he's not working now. It's continually working no matter what the environment, okay? Even here, even wherever somebody would, yeah, we'll get to that. The Holy Spirit is equally efficient in Bible Belt regions, areas of secularism, places of chains and sword threats. Bible Belt regions, thousands of people are coming to know Jesus. Next slide, please. You can see that Jerusalem and Antioch, thousands of people trusting in Jesus for the first time. And then from there, they were sent. And that's outstanding. The Holy Spirit was definitely working there. But there's a problem if we start to view that, those places, that's the only place where the Holy Spirit's moving. And we negate where we're at right now. We can start to think about, well, they put out a worship CD over there. That's where the Holy Spirit's working. Or they're praying 24 hours a day. That's where the Holy Spirit's working. Or down the street. Instead of recognizing the Holy Spirit is working here. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved and the Lord will be with them. That is true. Continue on if you don't mind, Mike. Thank you. In Athens, areas of secularism, which is really much so like America and very much so Sweden. God has been replaced as the center of worship. And in some situations, worship has become our center of worship. We're not worshiping Jesus, we're worshiping the songs. Let's take that out and put ourselves in the middle. I worship myself. And the rituals and traditions of the season continue on. We have to figure this out where Jesus can come back into a secularized land. So here in this land where you could, in Athens, you could worship any god you wanted. They had statues all over. You could choose one, worship it for a day, and there were characteristics about that statue, about that god that you could worship, okay? Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, and a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. Now follow me on this. Dionysius was a person who, like I said before, lover of horses. He kind of had an understanding about his name. He was named after the Greek god of wine and partying. It's like naming your kid Jack Daniels. How do you get out of that? Jim Beam. Lining up their initials so it's MGD. But there's a different trajectory that God wants to send us on. We find our identity in Christ alone. And also a woman named Damaris and a number of others. God loves to change the way that we work. Let's have hope for Lonsdale. Let's have hope for ourselves. Let's have hope for our family members who we will encounter. Next slide, please. After they have been severely flogged, Paul and Silas, thrown into the innermost cell where hope goes to die in prison, and they started to sing because they saw that in an impossible situation, God can be praised there, right? No matter how dire the circumstance, God can be praised there. Even if there's everybody around you is laughing and mocking God in a secular situation, the Lord will be praised as you place him in the middle of your worship. Next slide. People have been threatened and killed. James, the brother of John, was put to death with the sword. And the Holy Spirit was equally efficient. When each person said, God, even in this situation, I want your will to be done. I choose to be usable in this situation even now. And the Spirit then calms us and lets us know he will be worshipped. Glory will be brought to our Father, to our Lord. Next slide. When we choose to be usable, boy, think about what that can do. Impossible situations can greatly shift. Impossible situations look like how we are engaging the Swedish people. They don't care about us. They don't care about anything other than themselves. I'm not broad brushing them as negative. They're wonderful, warm people, but they do keep primarily to a self-focused lifestyle. Autonomy, where you take care of all your stuff, that's the highest like status that you could have. You got all your stuff together? What's interesting is we get so many examples from the Bible about people who are connecting with others because they realize they're broken and they need each other, right? So I want to introduce you to our secret weapon. It's just one of them. In reaching out to Swedes, and it's the weirdest thing ever, I promise you this. Next slide. That's my cat slash dog Yoda. All right? Never thought that I would have had a dog like this. But he fit into our apartment. He's about this big. He's like a loaf of bread. Okay? He's the sweetest dog you've ever met. And normally in Sweden, in the urban environment where we lived, people would walk right through you. Just, they don't care that you're there. We get this dog. I'm walking down the street. I know the people who are commuting, and I see them every day. And as I'm walking the dog, this person who normally walks right through me looks down at the dog and goes, and I'm thinking to myself, we're reaching internationals, we're reaching Muslims, we're trying to reach Swedes. I buy a dog. Are you kidding? Really? Vad heter hunden? That's what he asked me. What's the name of your dog? Just like I asked that lady in Kiruna. Only my response was, han heter Yoda. His name's Yoda. Nice to meet you. We've been invited to people's homes, to parties, to family gatherings through this dog. Why? Because like food, this dog is a bridge. In a secular land, people will look at the dog, then they'll look at you. They'll look at the food and then look at you. What is your bridge, everybody? What's your individual bridge in getting to know somebody else? This dog. Next slide. Next slide. I'm going to say this one more time. I'm so sorry. Next slide. You're so kind, Mike. And if you want to play something, feel free. Otherwise, I don't know how this works in churches. Usually we could have somebody just come up and just hit a drum for altar time. Holy Spirit's equally efficient. I'm kidding. I know how we work, all right? We like it soft. I'm with you. Well, I want to tell you one last story. And it's about my buddy Anders. So my dog Yoda, he helped us to meet a guy who has another dog, and so we met through our dogs. And Anders was the nicest guy. tall, much taller than me, loves rock music, and we talked a lot about bands. And he was on his way into the city one day. We got to know each other for 6 months through our dogs on a daily basis. And he would ask us questions about, it generally did lead to Jesus, but he would always shut me down and say, I don't want to talk more about this, even though he'd be asking the questions. But Swedes tend to be a little bit different in how we get to know them, because up to 6 months, they're not going to have coffee with you. After that, they will. So all the way up to the 6 month mark, we would be talking on a daily basis. Anders one day was on his way into the city, and he raises his arms and he goes, Phil, me and Katya, my wife, we were walking our dog Yoda. And impossible situation, right? I've tried to get to know this guy for years, or for 6 months so far. And as we're walking Yoda, he goes, I'm going in to see this band. And I said, okay, cool. Have a great time. And he said, it's going to be great. And he held up his hand a second time, and I saw that there was this little plastic plug coming out the side of his t-shirt. I said, hey, what's that? And he goes, that's my cancer. I have a year, and I'm going to leave my family. So it's at that point that Katya took Yoda, and I just stood there and I listened to his story, because Anders had the most wonderful family. Very, very kind, beautiful, beautiful family. Nice dog. And Anders looks at me and he says, I really don't know what I'm going to do, but I think I want to be happy for the last year of my life, so I'm going to leave my family. I'm going to find my childhood sweetheart, and I'm going to spend that last year with her. In an impossible situation, that's when I said, right? I'm sorry to hear this. Do you want to have coffee? Because that's where hearts are exchanged in Sweden. It just is. So he said, yeah, let's do that. Next week we meet. And I was thinking, just like you would, God, what is it that you want me to say to this wonderful person? And then I thought, well, what I've learned in church is this. I've learned about Jesus, right? And I'm going to tell a story about that, something that I learned in church and from the Bible, and then I'm going to relate it to my life, and then I'm going to relate it to his life. That simple. So I said, Anders, I don't know about what you've been going through this last week. I'm sure it's a lot. My family was all over the place this last week, and I felt like, boy, I can't wait to just sit down with them. And we've been all over. It's been chaotic. And I'm reminded of a story about that, where Jesus was in a boat asleep, and the disciples who were trying to learn after him, they said, Jesus, there's a storm going on all around here. Why are you sleeping? Wake up, help us, save us. And Jesus wakes up with one word. He calms the waters all around. So simple. Anders, I needed Jesus to do that for me. In my heart this last week. You can do the same thing. You can call on him and he'll calm the waters of your heart. To me, I thought this was a very powerful situation, but then I realized also that Anders had no room to believe in a God at all yet. He came from a long line of atheists, never attended church. Okay. He looks at me, and for the first time, instead of shutting me down, he said, Phil, you've given me a lot to think about. We just keep talking. So, in the following weeks, I had to come back and start to itinerate to raise support to go back to Sweden. See, it takes a long time for a Swede to come to know Jesus. I like the idea of least resistance and going to places where thousands will come to know Jesus, but I also need to recognize if God calls you somewhere, do not give up. He called you to go there. So I would text message him from across the ocean. And one day as I was text messaging him, I got a response back that this account has been turned off. Right? I like the harvest idea as we drive through Minnesota. The idea of the harvest is where you have combines, right? Will mechanically bring in the harvest. I like that. Makes a lot of sense to me. Sweden is different. It's more so if you go and you pick blueberries, You look down at the forest floor. You can't see anything. It's all leaves. But if you get down close and establish proximity, you look under the leaves and they're there. But they have to be addressed one by one. That's the harvest in Sweden. One by one by one. Now I hope that he trusted Jesus. I really do. But that's how it is in Sweden. I am hopeful for them. I'm hopeful for them as a mission-sending country once again. That will be outstanding. I'm hopeful for the Muslims who live there as well. For the students who need to hear who Jesus is. Your contribution, your monthly missions, whatever you give, it matters. If I go by my own dime and what I can do by myself, I don't go far. I get to Little Falls, Minnesota, and that's about it.
But as each of us does our part,
we can support missionaries. We can send them. And it does matter, and it makes a difference in nations, in people groups, in students, in Muslims, and in Swedes. I have hope and I'm not giving up. If you'd consider praying along with us for how we can affect Sweden together and that they might know Jesus, that'd be outstanding. And I'll lead us in prayer right now if you don't mind. You can close your eyes as the way that we usually do this. For some of you, you've been wondering, God, where are you today? I want to let you know He is right here. He's equally efficient. He loves you so much. I can't add more truth to that. You just have to start trusting that. And that truth is there, guys. He loves you so much and He's not letting go. He's not giving up on you. God is real. For some of you, you've been looking at your home situation. You've said, my reputation is written in stone. That is false. The Lord looks at you and He says, here's a trajectory for you. It is that you be known by my name. Be found in me, a co-heir, beloved. I'm so thankful for that. For some of you, God is calling you in mission. He's calling you to these church planting opportunities like Pastor Ben was speaking about. I dare not ask you to raise your hand to do that, but I dare you to answer with your life. God, you're so kind to us. Spirit, speak to our hearts in gentleness, in peace. Help us to count ourselves as usable in every situation, wherever we're at this week. All attention to you, our Lord.
Lord, now our ushers come and give you an opportunity to invest into Sweden and what God is doing there. Father, just bless this offering and just use it for your glory, Lord. And we just pray for a great harvest in Sweden. You, by your Holy Spirit, would move there and draw them in. In Jesus' name. Brothers, go ahead and pass that around. Awesome. Well, that's encouraging. The coffee culture is interesting. It's very central to my family. But my grandfather grew up in Sweden. He was an immigrant here to the United States. And so it's very interesting. Getting to understand how my family, why we are the way we are, that has answered some long-standing questions I've had about why I am the way I am. Well, we're blessed. Make sure you stop by the back at this table. There's chocolate and prayer cards. So get there. And if you want to, always looking for supporters. But anyway, love you. God bless you. Second service is at 10:30. Make sure you stop and see him. We love you. Have a great week.